Welcome to Highway Christian Community Sermon Download. Our aim is to reveal from Scripture just how good God really is. Find more of our sermons and other links, as well as contact details, at our website, www.highway.org.za. That's highway.org.za. May this sermon bless you. Enjoy.
Right. Thanks to the musicians. How do you like our new worship team this morning? This is a new band, new worship team. I often make the mistake of calling them the worshippers, but we the worshippers. And they the musicians and worshippers. So thanks, guys. That was great, man. That was their debut. Is that the right word? Debut. Bill and I have a similar education. We read from right to left, not left to right. Good morning, church. Yes, I'm still smiling, so just get over it now, okay? Is Blue here? Blue! I heard a little whisper in my ear this week. Tweet, tweet. You got engaged? Yay! Blue got engaged! And Sofiso, her fiancé, is a fox on fire! Congratulations, guys. That is beautiful. Also, Gary, in the back there. Gary is one of our champions. This morning he was doing the sound, and then at about 1 minute to nine, we heard that the person coming to do the projector board had something else that came up. So Gary was multitasked this morning. Champion. Well done, Gary. So, have you found out who your just one is for this coming weekend? If you weren't here last Sunday, you won't know what I'm talking about. Your just one is the one person out of a group of people who has said yes to you to come and accompany you to the Steve Lungu Evangelistic Crusade next Sunday here at the church. You've got a Saturday morning to choose, a Friday night, Sunday morning. I mean, it's smorgasbord of choice, spoiled for choice. But it would be a tragedy if we just sat and got entertained by such an amazing testimony from such an amazing changed life. I mean, great Sunday mornings, you know, it's regular stock teaching the word. But this is a special occasion. And I'm 99.9% sure of my just one. And you? Is there somebody? Thanks for your great enthusiasm this morning. I can see you're going to make me work really, really hard here today. Yeah, all right. Good morning, church. Lovely to be here. And I'm just excited about today as next weekend, but it's not like... I'm not excited to be here this morning. I really am. And I took about a three-week fast from CNN, E! News, Al Jazeera News. And look, I'm not promoting ignorance on, you know, life issues and things happening. But, man, too much of that stuff is not good. It can really get you down. But one thing I'm convinced about, when I watch all the drama and the ongoing stuff and corruption and ongoing negativity, is that at the root of it, at the very core, in man's nature, is this thing called selfishness. People are born instinctively, intuitively. They can't even help it. You got born that way. It's not like you had a choice, like I'm going to come into this world without selfishness. It's just there. It's built into your DNA. It's a survival mechanism, possibly. It's in the baby, your sweet little darling baby, cry.
is not, "Mommy, are you sleeping at night? Shame, it must be so hard for you having new intrusion in your life."
No, it's code for, "I want what I want and I need it now, and you better find out what the heck it is, or I'm going to keep you up all night." In the first birth, we're born with this thing called selfishness. It takes the second birth for us to receive a new nature. You see, Jesus was the only person on earth, the first and only, that lived a perfectly unselfish life. He came not just to live an unselfish life so we can imitate him or model him, yeah, right, in your wildest dreams, hello, but he came to inflict punishment on the first fallen sin nature and in its place provide an opportunity for a new birth where we also receive a new nature, and it's his nature given to us as a gift. Anyone who's in Christ is one with him. In him we live and move and have our being. As he is, so am I in this world. For the law was powerless to change the condition of the world because it was weakened by the sinful nature. But God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful nature to condemn sin in fallen nature so that we could receive his Spirit. The Spirit who cries, "Abba, Father." Well, you have the same Spirit in you as a second birth creation as Jesus had when he walked on earth. Now that takes a bit of renewing, just to get that. Then the question is, why don't we see that manifest? Well, here's the thing. Between this new creation, new nature, and our behavior is a thing called the valve brain. The brain acts as a valve between the source of the new nature and a lifestyle of unselfishness. In other words, put simply, our mind has to be renewed. Because the grooves in the record have been etched so deeply that we respond subconsciously out of habit. Even though we've got a new nature, we still carry the telltale signs of the old me, myself, egocentric, all about me, what am I going to get out of this, what's good for me, nature. Come on. I know some people are looking at me like, "Gee, Steve, we came here for good news this morning." Well, I'm giving you good news. Jesus is the only answer to the fallen, sinful, selfish nature. And in selfishness is that corruption, that tendency towards envy and greed, that propensity towards bribery and all those things, because it's all about me, what am I going to get out of this personality. So the mind has to be renewed for the new nature that Christ has given you if you've been born again. And I want to share just three things with you this morning. Do you think we can get through three things? We're just going to touch on three areas that I hope are helpful. So, here we go. It's not going to come up on the board, so you're going to either have to note it or remember it, and we'll check who's listening after this. When we have our coffee, yeah, fun click. So, we see this nature graphically portrayed in what happened in John 12 when Mary came and poured out the perfume. There were two very clear different responses. The one was a response of sacrificial giving, and the other was a response of what a waste. But not because he had compassion for the poor, but because he was selfish. And he wasn't going to get anything out of this. And before we're too hard on Judas, let's just remember that the other Gospels say all the disciples were indignant. And I think we would be reflected in all the disciples. You know, why was this such a waste? This could have been, you know, this money could have been taken and given to the poor. And, you know, ooh, wow, you can't drive a new car and you can't have this house and you can't live there and you can't wear those clothes. And why did you often isn't just worried about the poor, but it's a jealousy and an envy dressed up as religious superiority. So the first thing is to be happy when others are blessed. The first of the cures, the first part of the renewed mind, scratching out and erasing and rubbing out the old etches in the record player for the older people and on the hard drive for the younger people, is this principle that we have to renew our minds by. Can I genuinely be happy for other people's blessings? Because that would have changed John 12 completely. If Judas had stood back and said, see, I'm actually happy that Jesus is being blessed right now. Yes, it's a year's salary being poured out. And yes, you know, it's a whole pint of nard. And, you know, maybe in the back of your mind you're struggling with what else it could have been used for. But hey, I'll make a decision to be happy for Jesus right now. But he couldn't. Because he wasn't going to be a big shot in Jesus' kingdom. Because Jesus already said, sorry guys, I'm going to be dead in a couple of days. So he couldn't be, and I don't know what that's like for you when you see other people being promoted beyond you. Are you able to really be happy for them? You see, it also depends on who they are. Yeah, well, there you go. Just a moment's silence, every head bowed. Lord, we just bring Janet before you this morning. We just thank you for that spiritual warfare alone and fasting and prayer. Nothing will show you the condition of your heart more than when other people get blessed. And your response to it. I know, I mean, in your business place, maybe another business is doing a bit better, or maybe someone else got the promotion, or maybe someone else, you know, got ahead and something. Nothing will test your heart more than saying, can I genuinely be happy and let my mouth know and my face know? I had aspirations for being the worship leader at the Hatfield Church in Pretoria. I thought that was my destiny and purpose. And I kind of went for the auditions and did a few here and there, and someone else got promoted to be worship leader. Nothing tested my heart more. Because didn't they know how well I could sing? See, it wasn't about singing. It was about sometimes let's laugh. There's three people and one job, and hello, you're in or you're not. But when you can't be happy for someone else, it shows you the condition of your heart. That unrenewed selfishness still coming through in the unrenewed mind. But number one, can I be happy for other people? Abraham could say to Lot, you take the best fields. You choose which is the best. And Abraham could stand back and applaud him. Because Abraham, this is the next point, knew who his source was. He knew where favor, he knew where blessing. He knew who gives it all anyway in the first place. So he could be genuinely happy for his cuz to go into the best fields because he himself was rooted in God is my source. When you know God is your source, when your mind is renewed enough to know every good thing you have or the next person has or the person who got promoted has came from God. John the Baptist was tested deeply. I mean, come on, he was the first guy on the scene. He was baptizing and getting people to repent and doing all this. He was the one who said, this is the Lamb who takes away the sin of the earth. And then he got a bit wounded in his heart because Jesus was off baptizing and doing other great exploits and he was locked up in prison. But I love in John chapter 3, it says, and John the Baptist, when asked, who this Jesus was that was doing greater works than him, John the Baptist says these words, he must increase and I must decrease because no man can receive anything unless it comes from the Father. Wow. Imagine if you could do that with the person you envying and admiring and would like to have had what they got. Hello? Well, you know, I was the first single girl in the church, so who does this new Bimbo thinks she is coming in and getting this handsome chappie with this fancy sports car. You know, I was faithfully singing in the choir long before this other young dude came along and now they got promoted to worship leader. Oh, you know, my business, we've been faithful and faithful and faithful all these years and now they say they don't need blacksmiths anymore because of the new industries. You know, who do they think they are, changing the industries? I demand my rights. No man can receive anything unless it's given. So first of all, is can I be happy when other people are blessed and succeed and get ahead? Can I step back from the crowd and say, yes, even though that was a great expense, I want to make sure my heart is right and be happy. And then secondly, remember where it came from in the first place. But some of you in the church, when I preached last, I know July was all over the place. Do you remember the morning that Rob van Laren had a need for petrol and Bill was so over eager to jump up and go and give him some money? Was anyone at church that day? A couple of us, all right. So Bill had to be here. And the reason Bill was so enthusiastic when I announced that Rob needed some money for petrol, the reason he was so enthusiastic to jump up and get over to him to give him the money was because I gave him the money before the service and asked him to follow the prompts in the illustration. And the point was, very simply, it's a lot easier to give somebody else's money away. I know that's deep. I know that's going to take a while to sink in. It's a lot easier to give somebody else's money away. You know why? Because it's somebody else's money, obviously. But when I realize that when Father prompts me to give, it wasn't mine anyway. He's the source. You see, when I can renew my mind out of, well, it was mine and I gave. You know, even the terminology we use, like, let's take up the offering. We're not really taking it. Taking me implies it's somebody's and we take it. I think we should change the language around, let's give our offering. Now, that's just one small part of giving. I'm not only talking about money here this morning. So let's get on to the third and last one. Just kind of a main point. Yes, great, I've still got half an hour. Praise the Lord. So have you got those so far? We need our mind renewed so that it can catch up with our recreated spirit, who is unselfish in Christ. And Jesus came to show us how this world can be changed. One unselfish act at a time. Do you know that? I mean, just stop and think of the news. Imagine for 1 year, everybody decided this is a year of unselfishness. No envy, no greed, no corruption. I'm going to look how little I need for my needs, and that's a relative statement, and I get that. But how little do I need to meet my needs so that I can be hugely generous? Imagine what this world would look like in 1 year. You say, yeah, but Steve, that doesn't explain away, you know, natural catastrophes like earthquakes and, you know, floods. And yes, but can you imagine how those would be dealt with? Hello? Maybe I'm being idealistic. Maybe until Jesus comes back, this will never happen. But can you imagine 1 year of unselfishness on this planet? So, I'm visiting my brother up in Joburg. And I've got 4 days. I've got meetings spread out up to Sunday when I'm preaching. Then I fly back in July now. So, I'm overhearing a conversation in the kitchen between my sister-in-law and my nephew about his sports soccer stuff on Friday afternoon, and do you think Uncle Steve will come? So I'm thinking, Wednesday, meetings, Thursday, maybe Friday morning, Friday afternoon I'm free. It's my only free time. The whole time, and I'm ministering on Sunday, and I get anxious. Anyway, I did the Christian thing. I went along. Janet says you stayed at home. When I got back from the soccer thing, I actually felt quite refreshed. Been out in the sun, got chatting to a few people, got quite excited about the game, as men, uncles, dads do. Got home, and I actually hadn't lost an afternoon at all. I'd actually gained an afternoon. I just said to my sister-in-law and my brother, don't you dare tell my kids that I spent an afternoon at a sports event, okay? They'll crucify me. And I realized, you know, often it It's those little selfishnesses of, but I can preserve this for myself. This is me time, my time. I deserve it. I've worked hard. Nobody else knows what I'm going through. And sometimes that might be right, you know. And even then, Father smiles. But if I want to renew my mind, I've got to be a giver of my time. And so do you. So giving is not just about finances. It's about time. It's about letting people into our space. No, that costs. That's giving. I was sitting in my office a few weeks ago. Gary DeWitt came running in. Everyone remember? Gary. Ah, Gary. My buddy. I really miss him. Anyway, so he comes in. Come quick, cup of coffee to say, how's it? Now, Gary's always on the move. I said, what are you doing in Durban? You're just settling in Cape Town. He says, you won't believe what happened. He says, you know, we're down in Cape Town, still in boxes. Kids going to varsities, getting organized with lights and water, and it's so hectic. And my son comes to me and says, Dad, I got this friend at college. He only gets his accommodation in a month's time. Can he come and stay with us? So Gary says, I don't know, my elbow from my kneecap, and, you know, I don't know what. But something inside me says, okay. Let me speak to Mom, and they agreed. He came and stayed. Anyway, a few weeks later, he gets a phone call from the guy's dad, saying, who's down in Durban, saying, thanks so much for what you did for my son. Oh, yeah, no, it was a pleasure. Yeah, no, but I believe you've got an ongoing court case in Durban that you've actually put on a back burner because it took up so much effort, so much time, and it's a big one. And we're talking some serious tin in this contract that went south. And Gary felt he had a claim, but it just went around in circles, in red tape. This guy says, well, I'm an attorney, and I represent people in similar cases, and I've looked at your case, and I think we can win it. Why don't you let me take it up for you? And we'll talk about funds, payments, and all that stuff, as if we win the case. And all. Gary says, well, it's like too good to be true. And I thought, wow, he could have said no to that boy. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Just when you thought you could outgive God with your time or your space or your prayers. You know, giving includes praying. I'm walking out having lunch with somebody in Westfall and at the pavilion. As I'm leaving, there's this guy. I often see him there. He's often there near the mug. And he's sitting there with a crutch, and I walk past, and he always, like, it's quite a friendly, I smile at him, I said, what happened? He said, nah, motorbike accident, ripped half my foot off. And I said, wow, that's lousy. I couldn't, like, just walk away then, you know, leave him sitting. So I said, anybody prayed for you? Words came out my mouth before I even thought about it. I said, anyone? No, you mean pray, like to God? Yeah, like, pray to God. No one's done that. I said, okay, let me pray for you. Quick pray, baba, go off, forget about it. About 2 weeks later, I run into this guy, excuse the pun, I walked into this guy. I mean, he was actually sitting. So I walk past, he gets up, he starts jumping like this. He's got techies on, no bandages, no. He's got friends sitting there with him. He says, this is the guy I told you about who said he's going to pray for me. I'm like, that was such an easy opportunity to miss. Sometimes when you give, you don't even think about the reward. It's like Mary wasn't going home expecting 10 pints of nard waiting for her on her veranda. She just gave out of the joy of giving. Sometimes we just do things and we don't even know what we're doing. And we take an opportunity. It's a small thing. But it actually becomes such a wonderful testimony of God intervening. That's what Rick Warren of Saddleback Church, the biggest church in America, was, who answered. He was once asked, Pastor Rick, what is your evangelism strategy for your church? And he said, simply this. Everyone gets a piece of paper, and I ask them to write, what is the thing they enjoy doing? Hobby, sport, something they really enjoy doing. And they write it down and I say, can I go and do that and make sure you include some unbelievers in what you do? And we met with David Louise. They had a big function today. They excused themselves. But they had an opportunity to go and play in a very hard tournament in bridge. And their single goal is, we're just going to love people and wait for the opportunity to share our story with somebody. Take an opportunity to pray when we see there's a need. Listen carefully for the little clues. Don't come across too overpowering when someone says, oh, my son's going through a hard time. Like, in Jesus' name, we bind that spirit of rebellion in your son. I mean, it's probably not going to help them. But maybe just we just pray for you that God will give you wisdom through the situation. Wow. What do you enjoy doing? What's fun for you? Get some people who don't know Jesus along for the journey. That's giving. I've got other examples here. I won't go into all of them. But you know, let me finish up with this. We're talking about the root problem in the world today is selfishness. And the answer in the gospel is that we receive a new nature. And as we renew our minds through learning to be really happy for others, as we renew our mind by recognizing who it all came from anyway, and it shouldn't create emotional conflict when we respond to some form of giving. And then thirdly, when we look for opportunities to share this good news, there's a scripture. Philemon, thanks. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. I pray that our partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. You see, when we're giving our time, we're giving our space, we're giving our effort, we're giving our gift, our talent. And all the time we've got an eye on those who don't know and don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We will come to a greater understanding. Show me a Christian who never ever thinks of the unsaved or the lost or those who are without Christ. I'll show you someone probably isn't renewed in this area of their mind and still living pretty selfish, small-minded, egocentric, me, 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 all about I, life. This is a bit harsh, Steve. Shall I rewind? No, that's the truth. Sorry, somebody had to say it. But show me someone who's always in the back of their mind going, Lord, you are the greatest giver ever. You came and lived the perfect life of unselfishness, a life which in the natural I know I could never live. But hey, I believe I received your nature when I was born again. And maybe these are three of many. But maybe if I can just take these three things and say, okay, I'm going to trust that the truth is going to overcome the lie. I said, I'm going to trust the truth is going to overcome the lie. And when I'm sitting and I hear what's happening in the world through the news media, if I feel hopeless, it's because I've believed a lie. I believe that the gospel is not powerful enough to change the world. Then, quite frankly, what the heck am I doing? But I do believe it's powerful enough. One person at a time, one day at a time, until the Lord Jesus returns for his glorious church. Can you say amen? Let's stand up together. And I want to pray now. I've got a minute or two before we close the service. And I want to pray for you. If you feel that in some area of your heart, you've got closed up, whether it's really being happy for other people, whether it's just an unselfishness that's crept in, that just focuses on your need and what you need at the expense of others. So I know God said don't, but I'm going to do anyway, because I think that fruit he's holding me back from is actually the thing that's going to bring me the most satisfaction. Forget the rest of the planet. Forget, in Eve's case, the generations to come. But maybe in your case, it's just your family. Maybe it's just your business. Maybe it's just your spouse. God knows we all need prayer right now. So Lord, we do. We come and we just lift up our hearts to you. You said where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. So we want Jesus to be the treasure. Because for him, the year's worth of ointment can be poured out. For him, my precious time and my afternoon and my space and my gift and my planning can be poured out. Jesus, be the treasure of my heart. Be the treasure. Right now, just where Jesus is not the treasure, right now, supernaturally, if you're a born-again Christian, you have his nature. You have the treasure inside of you. So right now, I call out with you and say, be free from a spirit of small-minded selfishness. Free. And if you're standing here this morning and you say, well, I don't even know if I've been born again. I don't even know if I've got that new nature in me. Then I want to pray for you right now. Because you cannot do it, my friend. Christianity isn't an imitation, try and become better by self-effort and a self-improvement plan. No, no. It's impossible. But right now, I pray for you. If you don't know that you've been born again, you don't know if you've received the same Spirit that was in Christ, Father, right now, would you just come and show people their need for the Savior? Right now, in Jesus' name. If that's you, just say in your heart after me, Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that your perfect life was exchanged at the cross for my imperfect life, my imperfect selfishness, envy, jealousy, pride. And this morning, I put my faith and confidence in what you did for me at the cross. That I died with you. I was raised with you. And I'm seated with you in heavenly places. Just while everyone is just still just praying, standing, maybe with your eyes closed. If that's you and you said, I prayed that today and I meant it with all my heart and I haven't been born again, but today I'm trusting God. Just look up at me. Look up, make eye contact. Just look up if that's you, because in a moment I'm just going to look in your direction, and when I indicate towards you, and I just lift your hand so I know I'm standing in agreement, because I'd like to pray with you personally today. Anybody here looking at me, just raise your hand. Thank you, ma'am. Is anybody else? I don't want to miss anybody. Anybody in this section of the church? If you're looking at me, just raise your hand. Say, yes, I prayed that today. Yes, sir. Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else on the side of the church? Thank you, sir. Is anybody else? This is a sweet moment. Thank you, sir. Now, just while every head's bowed, I want to pray with those people now personally, because this is the greatest miracle for our journey to begin. I want those people who said, I want to pray with you personally. I'm going to dismiss the church in a moment. But don't you want to just come right now? Come and stand in front here. That takes a bit of courage. Come on, church. Let's agree with them. Just come out from where you're standing. Those who said, would you pray for me? Just slip out from your seats. Come stand in the front here. I want to pray with you personally. This is a very important moment in your life. So Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for dear precious people this morning who said, I put my faith in what Christ did for me. I want you to just reach out your hands, church, to these dear folk up here. Just as we, and maybe ladies on men and men on men, ladies on ladies, men on men, just come and let's just agree. Just, Holy Spirit, would you come right now? Cause the treasure who Jesus is to become such a reality in her life right now, from death into life, by the power of rebirth, by the Spirit of God. Every condemnation, every guilt is broken by the power of the name of Jesus. Free, free, free. Who the Son sets free, free. In Jesus' name, we rejoice this morning, Lord, with the angels in heaven that Jesus said will rejoice over one repentance, over just one. And Lord, these three beautiful testimonies of grace standing here this morning, we say, Lord, let their minds be renewed quickly to the new creation reality. In Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with boldness, filled with joy, filled to go and make a difference. So to the folk in front, don't leave now. Someone's praying with you. To everybody else, thanks for being with us this morning. Remember, just one next Sunday. Just one. Amen.